Well, it is good to be with you this morning and to be back at Wilmersdorf. You know, you pull in and you see the tent out back and, you know, Bible school was happening, and there's always a certain amount of excitement that goes along with Bible school. And maybe some of you that are in it for a while, you can kind of get weary and maybe tired, and maybe those that are new or getting involved, well, that's still exciting. But I just want to say again, what an opportunity to impact souls for the kingdom. And we need to be faithful messengers and allow God to do the rest. I want to start off this message with a story. Now, I just want to say it's a little different, but I want you to stick with me because it's a story that makes a point that I want to give you this morning. The story is told of a young couple who grew up in a backwards kind of way. I think rumor has it was the hills of Kentucky. But what you need to know about this young couple, they got married, and their desire was that someday they would save up enough money that they would be able to buy a red convertible sports car. Now, they never had a car before, and they never drove before, but that was their dream, that someday they could save enough money, buy this red convertible sports car. And they would dream about it and talk about it and think about what it would be like to have this red convertible sports car. So they worked and they saved, and of course there were setbacks along the way. They would save and they would get kind of close enough to almost having enough money, but then something would happen and there go their money again. But they would keep saving. But their dream was to have this red convertible sports car. Well, one day, they get this letter in the mail that says, tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, Saturday morning, there's going to be a red convertible sports car dropped off in front of your house. It's a gift. And they went to bed that night. They were so excited thinking about this gift that the next day, this red convertible sports car would be in their driveway. Well, guess what? It was. They woke up. And it was, there was this car in their driveway. They were so excited. I mean, they get in the car and they feel the seats and the steering wheel and wow. I mean, they opened up the hood and they would look at the engine and they got the manual out and they studied the manual, and they were so excited about this sports car that they dreamed about for all of those years. You know, they would even go to the library, get books on it. They'd study all about this car and how it would work. And oh, they washed it and they took care of it that way. But there was one thing that was really strange. They never drove this sports car. They never drove it. They sat in it. They maintained it. But they never enjoyed it as it was meant to be enjoyed. They didn't know how to access the power. They never turned on the key. You know, it seems even foolish, kind of tragic, that you could own a car like that and never enjoy it the way it was meant to be enjoyed, to never experience that power and that rush of hitting them gears and sitting back in your seat. But you know, I would propose to you today that some of us in our churches do the very same thing. They are in Christ. They have received the free gift of salvation. They have received the Holy Spirit at the time of conversion. But they've never plugged into the power of the Christian life. They never accessed the power that is available to us as believers. And I don't know your experience here this morning, but maybe you identify with that couple sitting in the driveway, sitting in the car, just dreaming what it would be like. But you've never continuously accessed the power of the Christian life. And somehow you have learned to accept, sitting in the driveway, dreaming what could be. All of the power in our Christian life comes through the working of the Holy Spirit. Every good thing that God wants to do in your life and in my life comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you under the anointing, the influence, and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know Him, talking about Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You see, we cannot do it on our own strength. We don't have the power to pull off what the Spirit wants done. We cannot do it on our own strength. I want to know what it is to walk under the anointing and the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we can kind of get maybe a little bit nervous or a little bit concerned. And maybe some of that is because we've seen people, if I can just say, go off the deep end and do things. And we kind of scratch our head and we say, is that from God? Is that from the Holy Spirit? Does He work that way? And if we're not careful, we can tend to shy away from any kind of teaching or learning about the Holy Spirit and what He does. Too many times, I see people, well, let me just say it this way. When you seek the Holy Spirit, you seek the Godhead. When you seek the Holy Spirit, you seek the Godhead. May I say, don't go after experience. Too many times, I've seen situations where people go after experience instead of relationship with God. Many people can get sidetracked with this power of the Holy Spirit because they're seeking an experience rather than God. You see, the Christian life is Christ in you. It is Christ in me. Galatians 2:20 says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, the Christian life is Christ in you. There is no Christian life apart from Christ in you and in me. Jesus told His disciples there in Acts. He said, if I go, when I go, the Comforter will come. You see, Jesus had to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come. You see, the promise of the Holy Spirit is not with you, but in you. Not Jesus by my side, but in me. Living the life of Christ out through me. Old Testament Christianity. The Holy Spirit would come at certain times upon men for certain jobs that they had. But He would leave. New Testament Christianity. After the atonement, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in the life of a believer. He is not coming for He is in us. He is working through us. He is in us, living the life of Christ out through you and me. Now, there are two ways to live the Christian life. Two ways to live the Christian life. Romans 8 vividly points this out. This is not my main text, but by way of introduction, you can turn to Romans 8. I'm just going to highlight a couple of verses in this passage as we think about two ways to live the Christian life. One is a life ruled or controlled by the flesh. And the second way is a new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why must I live by the Spirit? Why do I need life in the Spirit? Well, let me just highlight some of these verses. And the heading in my Bible here says, living by the Spirit. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Down further in verse 4, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'll point out here that I believe if I counted right, 19 times in this chapter, 19 times in chapter 8, Holy Spirit is mentioned. Verse 8 says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Can that get any more clear than that? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. Give life. That's talking about energy. That's talking about power. That's talking about the strength for the Christian life. It says He will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will, what does it say? Die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Powerful verses here in Romans 8, talking about two ways to live the Christian life. One by the flesh or by the Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Amen? Every believer has the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls that Holy Spirit baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So every believer has the Holy Spirit. The question is, does He have all of you? Does He have all of me? The Holy Spirit does not have every believer, or He does not have control of every believer. Maybe a better way to say it. And here's where I really wanted to go with this message. And that's to answer the question, how do I be filled with the Spirit? How do I be filled with the Spirit? And what does it look like to walk under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit? And I'd like us to, this morning, I want us to give us some things to think about. Some things that we do as believers where we hinder or quench the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Looking at verse 14. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, have you noticed it's getting darker in our culture and in our world? The days we live are evil. We are told to redeem the time because the days are evil. Making the most of our time because we live in evil days. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, key verse this morning. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The Amplified says it this way. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. I like that. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to remind us this morning that as believers, nowhere in Scripture are we commanded to be indwelt, sealed, or baptized, because we have no part in those things. Talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because those happen at conversion. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Ephesians 1:13 says, we are sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. You see, the issue in filling is not, do I have all of the Holy Spirit? The issue is not, do I have all of the Holy Spirit? The question is, does He have all of you? and does He have all of me? You see, that's an issue of filling. Be filled. Very clear command. Be filled. Be filled. The Greek word there is karlusta, which means be filled, controlled, intoxicated, permeated, thoroughly influenced. To understand the word, we look elsewhere in Scripture to see how it is used. In Luke 4:28, and for lack of time, I'm not going to turn to the passages, but you can write this down and you can check it out. But in Luke 4:28, it says they were filled with rage. Jesus was teaching, it's the account where Jesus was teaching in the synagogues, and they threw him out of the city. It says they were filled with rage. In Acts 13:45. It's the account where Paul and Barnabas were preaching. And the Jews, as they looked at the large crowds that were gathering, it says that the religious leaders, they became filled with jealousy. They were filled with jealousy. In other words, they were overcome by a power greater than their own. They were controlled by, thoroughly influenced. Now, the definition of filled that I would give you this morning is overcome with a power greater than your own. Being filled with the Spirit, overcome with a power greater than your own. In other words, controlled by. Overcome with a power greater than your own. Now, there's four things that I want you to notice here in this text in Ephesians 5:18. The first thing that I would point out to you is that it is a command. In fact, it's a very clear command. Have you noticed that God's Word doesn't give a lot of suggestions? You know what, Jay, I'd like you to consider this, and maybe you should think about that. As I read God's Word, there's a lot of very clear admonition. Don't do this. Don't live like this. Do this. Live your life in this kind of way. God's Word, very clear instructions for us as believers. Very clear command. And here we notice it's a very clear command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. I wrote in my Bible right behind that verse, daily. Be filled with the Spirit daily. Now, God doesn't command us to do something that we cannot do. Amen? Whatever God asks us to do in Scripture, it is possible. So it is possible to be filled. So the first thing, notice, is a command. The second thing I want to point out is God is the source of the filling. And we are the objects being acted upon. God is the source of the filling. We cannot do it on our own. God is the source of the filling. We are the object being acted upon. You cannot fill yourself. All you can do is ask. The third point that I want you to notice here, it's plural. It's for every believer. It's for all of us. It's not just for a special class of people. I think sometimes we can be guilty of maybe saying, you know what? I'm not really sure that the Holy Spirit could fill that person. It's for all of us. Be filled with the Spirit. It's plural. It's for every believer, not just for a special class of people who get the Holy Spirit. The command is that all of us be filled. So, notice it's a command. God is the source of the filling. It's plural. It's for every believer. And fourth point, it is in the present tense. I want you to see that. It is in the present tense. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. The actual verb there is continuous action. Depending on which translation you have, it may be translated ever be filled or be being filled. But it's a verb there. It's continuous action. In other words, one baptism, many fillings. One baptism, many fillings. As I said earlier, there's a lot of debate today in Christian circles and even in our circles about the Holy Spirit. And what does it look like, and when do we get it, and all the different things surrounding the Holy Spirit. But brothers and sisters, one thing that I hope that we can agree upon this morning, we need it. We need it. The Holy Spirit is the power, the strength, the energy. It's the gas in the engine for our spiritual lives. There's two ways to live the Christian life. On our own strength, by our own power, which is the flesh, or by life in the Spirit. Question. When you think about living life in the Spirit, being controlled by, influenced by, walking under the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit, is that a living reality for you? Or is it a theological statement? One baptism, many fillings. Baptized into the Holy Spirit at conversion, I receive Him. And many times during my life, praying again and asking to be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. In other words, letting the Holy Spirit completely fill, permeate, control your entire being. Let's look at the illustration that's given here in this verse. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. God's word uses a negative illustration to make a point. And we recognize that God's word was God breathed by the Holy Spirit to the writers. So this was God's word, but I find it interesting. It uses a negative illustration to make a point. And that's the negative illustration of drunkenness. Now, if you've ever been around a drunk person, it's not silly, it's not funny, it's really sad deal. It's really sad. But if you've ever seen somebody that's drunk or been around somebody that is drunk, they don't act like themselves. They lose control. They lose control of their tongue. They say things that maybe they wouldn't normally say. They lose control of their body. But they, in fact, if a policeman pulls over, if he sees a car weaving, and the policeman pulls that car over, what does he do? He says, get up and walk the line. Why does he do that? He wants to see if that person is under the control or if he is under the influence of alcohol. Is it having an effect on his life? In other words, is he controlled by, overcome by? Is he thoroughly influenced? Is he intoxicated? God's word is saying in this verse, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled by something much greater than that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit fills us, He takes control of our bodies. He permeates us. He controls us. As radical New Testament believers, with the life of Christ living in me, is my life thoroughly influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit? When I fight battles, am I fighting battles on my own strength? Am I trying to better my performance? Or am I looking to a greater power? God says there's a better way. Life in the Spirit. I want to give you five things that hinder the Spirit's filling or hinders the power of the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. And in these five things, I would go as far as to say where we forfeit His filling in our lives. The first one that I want to give you is resisting the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm looking at things that we do where we hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, where we hinder the power of the Holy Spirit from working in our lives, where we forfeit His control and His filling in our lives as believers. The first one, turn to Acts chapter 7, verses 51 and 52. Acts chapter 7. And the first one that I would give you is resisting the Holy Spirit. The first one I give you is resisting the Holy Spirit. Verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Here's the account where Stephen is preaching his last sermon. He's 5 minutes away, maybe 5 minutes from losing his life. And he's telling these religious leaders, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers. Here is an example of a group of people resisting the Holy Spirit. Here Stephen is preaching to this group that's about ready to stone him. And what are they doing? They're resisting what God's Word is saying. They're resisting the Holy Spirit in their life. They're like holding up their hands. They're like, no, I won't listen. No, I don't care. I am not going to listen to what you are saying. The Holy Spirit is trying to bring conviction. And they're saying, no, I won't have any part of it. You see, they were resisting the Holy Spirit. They are resisting the truth. They're hardening their hearts. The Holy Spirit is trying to bring conviction, and they won't allow it. It's an example of resisting the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind us this morning that when we resist the Holy Spirit, we forfeit the filling and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The second one that I would give you to consider, and this is not meant to be an exhaustive list, but five areas. I'm giving you things that hinder the Holy Spirit's filling in our lives. The second one, desiring against the Holy Spirit. Desiring against the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. I say, walk in the Spirit. Notice, it's a parallel statement to be filled with the Spirit. We just looked at in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. Here it's a parallel statement. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires or the lust of the flesh. Now, when we hear the word lust, we often think of it in a sexual way. But here I believe it really means desire. Where we desire against. Do not, let me start again. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, did you catch that? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Desiring against the Holy Spirit. You see, God has made no provision for you and I to live the Christian life on our own strength. We cannot live the Christian life on our own strength, by our own power. Now, I know sometimes we try hard. But there's got to be something greater than just Jay trying to pull himself up by his own bootstraps. There's got to be something more than just trying to better my performance. He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What is the law and the flesh? The law is trying to change myself, my old nature, the old life. You see, flesh is my old nature. So as a believer who has the Holy Spirit living within, when I desire against the Holy Spirit, that's desire. That's going back and looking at the things from the old life. That's looking at the desiring, wanting those things from the old life and from the flesh. It's going back to the old nature and trying to get my needs met. You see, it's like a tug of war with the Holy Spirit. And what's going to happen in our lives. Desiring against the Holy Spirit is to cooperate and desire with the old nature. To go back, to desire, to go after the things of life from previous when before we knew the Lord. Desiring against the Holy Spirit. The third one that I would give you this morning is grieving the Holy Spirit. Again, looking at things that we do that hinder the working and the anointing and the influence and the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The third one that I would give you is grieving the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. What is grieving? How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? The word grieve, I believe, means to cause pain or sorrow. In other words, when we do things that are not pleasing to the Lord, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It makes sad. It grieves the Holy Spirit. When we are doing things that are not pleasing to the Lord, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It means make sad when we do things that displease Him. And if we would look at the preceding verses here, and we're not going to do that for lack of time, there's a lot of sins of the speech that get mentioned and how that grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we think that we can hide and God doesn't know what we're doing, and that if we kind of keep things in secret, that God doesn't know. Of course, we know that that's not true. There is nothing hidden from God. And I believe there are times as believers where we find ourselves going places where we have no business being. Or we find ourselves reading things that we have no business reading. We find ourselves doing things. We are taking the Holy Spirit with us because He indwells in us. And I believe there's times He's crying out saying, "Jay, don't do that." And I do it anyway. It's a picture of grieving the Holy Spirit. And when I grieve the Holy Spirit, it hinders the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my life. The next one that I want to give you is quenching the Holy Spirit. We just got done talking about grieving, but quenching the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Do not quench the Spirit. Again, very clear command. What does quench mean? What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit's working in our lives? In Ephesians 6:10, we have the spiritual armor. And again, for lack of time, we're not going to turn to those verses. But starting in verse 10, it lays out the spiritual armor that we are to use, that we are to put on as believers. But in verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to," what? Quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts. When I think about quenching those fiery darts, you know what it is? It's put it out. It's putting out that fire. Quenching. Put out the fire. Quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Put out. Quenching is when we don't do the things that He wants us to do. When we don't do the things that He wants us to do. We said that grieving is when we do things that displease God and displease the Holy Spirit. Quenching is when we don't do the things that He wants us to do. You see, when the Spirit of God convicts me about something and says, "Jay, you need to go back and you need to make this right. Maybe something happens at work and I treat someone in a harsh way." And the Holy Spirit says, "Jay, you need to go back and you need to talk to him. You need to make that right." And I don't do anything. And the voice comes again, "Jay, you need to go back. You need to make that right." And again, indifference, I don't act. He comes again, "Jay, do you even hear me anymore? You need to go back and make that right." Quenching the Holy Spirit. When you quench the Holy Spirit, you forfeit His filling and influence in your life. And if we keep on quenching, the Holy Spirit, it leads to something called rejecting. It leads to rejecting the Holy Spirit. rejecting the Holy Spirit. That would be the fifth one that I would give you this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll give you an example of that. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to jump down here to verse 7 and 8. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Verse 8, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. You see, here in the preceding verses, there's a teaching on purity, keeping our lives holy and keeping our lives pure, that we're being righteous in our actions and our thoughts. And if we keep rejecting the Holy Spirit, you see, there comes a time if we continually resist and grieve and quench, you reject the Spirit of God from working in your life. Five areas: resisting, desiring against, grieving, quenching, and rejecting. Five things that hinder the Holy Spirit from working in your heart and in your life. And again, I would propose that these five things that hinder the Holy Spirit working in your life, each of these, when we do these, we forfeit God's filling and anointing and power in our life. When I am not filled with the Spirit, I forfeit every spiritual good thing that God wants to do in my life. I'll say it again. Every good thing that God wants to do in your life and in my life comes through the working of His Holy Spirit. Maybe as you look at your life this morning, again, maybe you would say, I'm that person sitting in that car just dreaming what it would be like to access the power. You see, revival at the end of the day is this: more of the Holy Spirit active and working in my life. That's what revival is about. More of the Holy Spirit working, acting, moving in my heart and in my life. Where the Holy Spirit is taking more control, having more influence. Now I want to give you the exciting news. I want to give you the good news, or the good part. How can I be filled? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Billy Graham said this: this is the good news, that we are no longer waiting on the Holy Spirit. He is waiting on us. I like that. Now, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit here this morning. I'm assuming that I'm talking to believers. Okay? If believers who had the testimony of God of working in your life. If you have never stepped out and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I have a question for you this morning. What are you waiting on? Talking to believers. First point that I want to give you: recognize your need to be filled. We're talking about how do I be filled. The first point: recognize you need to be filled. Is there in you a strong desire, a growing dissatisfaction with your own level of relationship with God? In other words, do you really want to be filled? Do you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? I believe one of the greatest enemies of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives is our lack of need. Our lack of need. I said it earlier, too many times we're guilty of trying to figure things out ourselves. And God is up there, He's just watching. You know what, Jay? You go ahead. If you can figure this out yourself, it's okay. But I'm here waiting. Recognize your need to be filled. Let God begin to grow within your heart the desire for more of His fullness in your life. Too many times, we tried to live our Christian life with one foot in the world and one foot in the church or relationship with God. It don't work that way. Recognize your need to be filled. Secondly, Confess all known sin in your life. If we're serious about being filled, controlled by the Spirit, we need to confess all known sin in our lives. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard, what does regard mean? Regard means to look at in a passive way. So if we look at the sins in our life, you know, too many times we can be guilty of like, ah, so what? What does it really matter anyway? And I know it's wrong, but I kind of got this attitude that, ah, you know, it's really not that big a deal. Regard, looking at it in a passive way. I want to encourage you this morning, don't be casual about the sin that's in your life. Don't be casual. Be serious. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Ask God to reveal your heart to you. And if he shows you something, then by all means confess it and repent from it. So thankful for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not talking about being perfect. We can never be perfect. God is not looking for perfection. I'm not talking about being perfect. Sanctification is a lifelong process, a continual yielding, surrendering my life over to God. If you want the fullness of God in your life, you need to get serious. I need to get serious about taking any hindrances out of the way. That means looking at your life, finding what God wants to change and asking Him to cleanse your heart. I'll say it again. If we're serious about being controlled, being influenced, having that greater power, then we must get serious about the sin in our lives and deal with it. The third point that I would give you, yield yourself completely to God's purposes and begin to desire what God desires for your life. You see, it's a continual yielding. It's a continual surrendering to His will and His ways. You see, it's not a question of how much of the Holy Spirit we have. The question is, how much of this does the Spirit have of us? How much does the Holy Spirit have of me? How much does He have of you? The Christian life is a life of yieldingness to the Spirit of Christ, living His life in you. Are you letting Him have full control in your life? Revival at the end of the day is more of the Holy Spirit active in me, working, stirring, moving in my life. The Holy Spirit of God taking control. I'm out of time and I had one more verse. I think we're going to go to it. Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks you for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Do you see that? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Two ways to live the Christian life, by the flesh or by the Spirit. Here, we ask God to fill you. The fourth point, ask God to fill you and believe that He will. Every day, I won't say every day, but my heart is many times throughout the day, Father, here I am again. Would you take me? Would you fill me? Father, I can't do this on my own strength. Father, would you fill me again? Father, I so need your power and your control and your influence. Would you, Father, would you take control? Father, here I am. Use me. Ask in faith and believe that He will. May each of us have a more awareness of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for Jesus this morning. We're so thankful that He died on the cross. He shed His blood so that we
can walk in victory, that we can experience salvation, and that we can walk in victory. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, part of the Trinity. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for the work that you do in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, this morning, as we think about those areas that get in the way of your anointing and your influence, that get in the way of you having full control, Father, help us to be radical New Testament believers. Father, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts this morning the futility of life in the spirit, life in the flesh, and that you want us to experience something much greater than that. Father, I pray this morning that you would just go through bench to bench, heart to heart this morning, Father, and search our hearts, Lord, and Lord, just allow you to show us what it is that you want to say to us. And Father, I pray that if you show us something, that we would confess, that we would take our sins seriously, that we would not look at sin in a passive way, but that we would truly repent and turn away. And then, Father, I do ask, Lord, that you would fill us. Lord, even now, we hold out our hands and we ask that you would fill us, that you would fill us, Father, and that you would use us for your honor and for your glory. Father, I pray that you would bless us, continue to guide and direct us by the power of your Spirit. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.